it's, everyone is very awake, which is good given you've lost an hour's worth of sleep. Today's sermon, I'm not going to teach you anything new. I hope that you pick up on how you know the same old thing. Let's just kick off. I got a, tell me when I can got control, Paul. Just pull out the little dongle. Yep. Do you want to click the next slide for me, mate? Four quotes on the future. What I'd like you to do, again, I'm not looking for a correct answer, but I'd like you to choose one that really appeals to you. The first quote is by John Paul II. The future starts today, not tomorrow. Abraham Lincoln said, the best way to predict your future is to create it. The one on the your top right is by Jordan Peterson. Do something today that your future self will thank you for. And the last one is by a guy called Ralph Emerson. I don't know what the future may hold, but I know who holds the future. So please share with me one of them that really appeals to you. I'd love to hear. I'm not looking for an answer. I just want to see what you think about the future and which one motivates you the most. Yes, Catherine? What motivates you about the last one? Yes, it speaks of God, and for Catherine, Catherine's future is tightly knit with God, so it's important for Catherine to know that the future is in God's hands. Is that correct? Thank you. Anyone else want to share something? Wow, everyone's really quiet. Come on, give me one more. Yeah. Yeah, very good. So the future starts today, not tomorrow. And it's good, isn't it? Because you can do that every day. And the way you walk into the future is one step at a time. Oh, I like that one too because it means I have responsibility for my future rather than being a victim of it. It's kind of a balance. Well, we're starting a new sermon series on Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is the last sermon that Moses gave before his people went into the promised land. And he wanted them to know how to move into the future with God. And he's going to highlight a few things about how you move into the future with God, not without God. And today we're talking about obedience. Now, there's a multiplicity of reasons to obey God, but Moses is just going to highlight two. There are two really good reasons. I think the second one will catch you off guard, you know, because it caught me off guard. And he's so enamored about these reasons. And the first one he says, he goes, listen to this reason. And then the second time he goes, look at this reason. So let's get into it. As I read verses 1 to 4 of Deuteronomy 4, ask yourself the question, why should we obey God? You ready? Deuteronomy 4. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and the laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you. Do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. And you saw with your own eyes what the Lord God did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But all of you that held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. Pretty obvious. God is leading his people from salvation to a promise he made. And you can see in verse 1, in crystal clear words, that obedience is essential to get that promise that God wants to give you. It's there it is. If you want that promised land, where is it? To go in and take possession, you need to follow the commands of God. And let's be honest, it's logical, isn't it? If God's going to give you a promise, you need to follow God to that promise because you don't know the way. And to follow God means to follow his commands. To follow his commands means to obey him. It's Pretty simple, really, isn't it? But also in verse 1, it says something really interesting. He says, not just follow them so you can take possession of the land, but he says, follow them so that you may live. And so I guess obedience is essential to live in the presence of God. Now, this is what struck me. I don't know if you've thought about this. It's completely logical. You ready for this? Obedience is how you express your faith in someone when you have an uneven relationship. Let me say it again. Faith saves you every time, but obedience is the only way to express your faith in someone in an unequal relationship. Let me give you an example. You ready? Parent, child. How does a child show they trust the parent, have faith in the parents? By obedience. If the child doesn't obey the parent, the child doesn't trust the parent. Simple? Let me change it a different way. If you've got a lifesaver and you need saving, the only way to show your trust in the lifesaver is by doing exactly what they tell you to do. If they say, give me a hand, you take the hand. If they say, get on the board, you get on the board. Does that make sense? Faith, obedience is the only way to express your faith when your relationship is uneven. Let me give you another one. If the king and subject, if a subject trusts the king, they should obey the king. When a subject chooses not to obey the king, what are they saying? I don't trust the king. One more. Creator and creature. How does a creature show that it trusts its creator? By obeying. And the interesting thing is when you put these things together, God is our Father in heaven and we are his child. God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we say our God, what is it they call him? He calls him there in the Old Testament, the Lord your God. God is our creator and we are his creature. So you can see it's really important to know obedience is the essential way of expressing your trust. Crystal clear? Let's flip it the other way around. When we disobey God, it shows we have faith in something or someone else. When we disobey something God says, we're showing we don't trust God in our present circumstances. Now, I want to tell you a little trick that you may know, but I don't know if you've thought about it. You ready? We're trusting God in the present. What will fuel our trust in God in the present? Only if we look back at our past and see how faithful God has been. Let me give you an example from my marriage. I have faith in Bronwyn in the present. The reason I have faith in Bronwyn in the present is because I have a history of her faithfulness to me in the past. The longer you travel with a person, whether they're your spouse or a good friend, the more history of faithfulness you have, the more you are able to trust them in the present because they've proven themselves faithful. Does that make sense? Now, that's why these commands start in chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, because chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, Moses is giving a summary of the past with God. And if you read chapters 1, 2, and 3, you find out that God saved them from slavery, and he saved them again, and saved them again, and saved them again. And when they were faithless, God was faithful. Obedience is the correct response to salvation. Now, when you look at verses 2 and 3, okay, sometimes we don't like what God commands us. Sometimes we want to change it. You know, sometimes we don't like what he commands and we ignore it and take it away. Oh, because it doesn't apply to me. That applies to other people in other circumstances. And sometimes God's gives us too much freedom and we want to add commands that he doesn't actually want. Are you familiar with this? Don't do it. Because if you're doing stuff that God doesn't want and saying God wants it, you're misrepresenting God. As much as if you know what God wants you to do and you choose not to do it. Don't do it. It's a very dangerous thing to do. It misrepresents God and it deceives the people of God. Now, the reason I mention that is because he reminded them of an event of the Baal of Peor. They were on their way to the promised land. They were walking with God in faith in the present. They got to a place called Peor. Oh, by the way, Baal is another way of saying Lord. They got to a place called Peor, and they checked out this place, and there were some hot women in this place doing some very bad worship. Of course they walked by it, didn't they? They went to where the hot women were because this worship involved sex and praying for the dead. Of course, one of the two is attractive. You know which one it is. Now, this is the interesting thing that people do. People never dump their faith in God. They just added their faith of another Lord. They go, oh, no, we believe in God, but you know what? This Baal of Peor, it's all happening there. We'll go there. And in verse 3, you find out the people that put their faith in another Lord, they died there. In verse 3, and they lost their lives and they lost the promises of God, because God will not share himself with anybody else. Is that all right? Okay. Now, a bit of a clarity. I've heard people say to me, maybe you've heard this too, some people say obeying the Ten Commandments makes you good enough for heaven. Have you heard people like that? If you obey the Ten Commandments, you go to heaven. Or they say the opposite, oh, I haven't kept all the good commandments, the Ten Commandments, therefore I'm not good enough for heaven. Have you heard people say that? Well, it's complete rubbish. Remember the link between obedience and trust. If you trust someone that's higher than you, you obey them. So the opposite is true. When you don't obey the Ten Commandments, it means you don't trust God in that area. So when people break the Ten Commandments, it's not that they're not good enough for heaven, it's that they don't trust God to get them there. Just the clarity. Let's go to the second point. Oh, before we go to the second point, I was a bit excited. Here's the interesting thing. God doesn't change. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament, and the methods haven't changed. Jesus, God is still saving us from slavery and still moving us to promise. And we're not enslaved. You and I are not enslaved by Pharaoh or Trump or whoever, but we were slaves to sin. And through Jesus Christ, God saves us from the slavery to sin. And you know what? Through Jesus Christ, he's not moving us to a land filled with milk and honey. He's moving us to an eternal kingdom where no one hates each other and there's no sin and there's no evil and there's eternal life that is beautiful. And in Christ, you know, we're still following Jesus, if you like, from slavery to promise. And guess what? Faith in Jesus looks like obeying Jesus. We call Jesus Lord. Christ is not Jesus' surname. It's his job. He is the Christ. He is the Lord. To call yourself a Christian is to say, oh, I believe that Jesus is Lord. To believe Jesus is Lord is to obey him. When Christians don't obey Jesus, they don't trust his lordship. And so our life, my life and your life, is just a chain of choices of faith moving towards the promises of God. And occasionally as you're traveling through life, you go, ooh, what's that over there? It's not the Baal of Peor. Maybe it's the Baal of money or the Baal of sex or the Baal of drink or the Baal of food or the Baal of onlineness. Now, is there anything wrong with sex? No. Is there anything wrong with drinking? Is there anything wrong with eating? Is there anything wrong with the internet? No, it's neutral. But as soon as any of those things start calling themselves Baal or Lord and make demands of your life, they become an idol. And we're walking along trusting Jesus. Sometimes something will catch your eye. And you don't want to give up on Jesus, but you just want to add another God to your repertoire, another Lord to make demands of you. And Jesus goes, don't do that. Don't do it. But the big difference, go back one slide if you could, Paul. Old Testament. Next one. New Testament. The big difference is we have the Holy Spirit. Massive difference. Massive difference. All right, keep that thought in mind. Let's look at the second reason for obedience. It's in verses 5-8. This one will catch you off guard. It caught me off guard, but it was very pleasurable. Instead of here, there's a command. See or look. I've taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God has commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you're entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to who? To the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? In verse 6, God wants to showcase his wisdom to the nations. God wants to show his wisdom to the world. Why? Because he wants to draw everyone from every nationality into his kingdom. He wants to take them all to his promises. So every time you obey the word of God, you are showcasing his wisdom, because it's a wise way to live. But then I love verse 7. He's not just showcasing wisdom, he's showcasing relationship with him. I love that quote, eh? We've got God right next to us. Right next to us. You don't have to go to a special spiritual place. There's no such thing. You don't have to go to a special conference or a special anything. The Lord your God is with you and in you, in Christ through the Spirit. And so when you obey, you demonstrate what it is to walk right next to God. If that was enough, his wisdom is showcased, relationship is showcased in verse 7. In verse 8, we're showcasing righteousness, or the right way to live. God loved the world so much that he advertises to the world. Why did Jesus die in public? Because Jesus died for the public. Why does Jesus want you to have a public faith and not a private faith? Because we make our faith visible for the sake of the onlooker. Because God wants to show the nations. So this is my way of saying it. Obedience to the word of God makes the wisdom of God visible. Obedience to the word of God makes relationship with God visible. And obedience with the word of God makes righteousness of God visible. You don't need to go online to the news or watch it on telly to know that the world has lost its wisdom. The world has lost its sense of what is right. And the world has lost its direction and hope. You know what's funny? People are always going on about progressing. Ask them where they're progressing to. They have no idea. Do people feel safe and secure in the world right now? No. Everyone's anxious and upset. You know, you watch them wire up from headlines on the news. I'm not fluffed by it, because I know who's taking me into the future. The world needs a king, and we happen to know him. All right, what's the take-home value? It's pretty simple. It's all in verse 9. And again, this is not new to you, but it's great to hear it again. Verse 9, only be careful and watch yourselves closely. Why? So that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. I want to encourage you, don't forget your history with God. Now, you didn't see the crucifixion, but you've got accounts of people who've seen the crucifixion. So read your Old Testament. The life, death and resurrection of Jesus. Read your Paul so he can unpack it for you. Read your Old Testament. If you want to see how God is faithful to stupid people, read your Old Testament. It's very encouraging and discouraging at the same time. If you believe in the goodness of people, the Old Testament's going to disappoint you, because people are just hopeless. But you will see the goodness of God. And I want to encourage you, you know, go to Smiggles or... Yeah, all of some people, Smiggles. Go to Smiggles, go to IGA, go to your local paper shop, buy yourself a blank book. make it your journal, and just write down and date every time God saves you from something. And watch that book fill. And read the book. Remember, the longer you travel with a person and see how they've remained faithful to you through the years in the past, the stronger your faith with them in the present is, and the more hopeful your future seems to them. And don't let your heart slip. Don't let anything else occupy your heart. If you're looking forward to something else besides Jesus, just beware. And I've got to say to everyone in this room, notice the command. The opposite of forgetting is teaching to your children and grandchildren. There are a lot of parents in this room. Please teach your children about God and his goodness through Jesus Christ. And there are grandparents in this room. And I know that half the grandparents in this room, that your kids aren't Christian, but it's not about their salvation. It's about your grandkids' salvation. Don't deny your grandkids' knowledge of Jesus just because of the agenda of your children. Who are you afraid more, your children or the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Do you want your grandchildren saved, or are you happy for them to go to eternity without God? The choice is yours. Now, let's go back to the four slides, if you could. It's the new back, forward, all the way to the end. Should be a slide there. The one with the four quotes. The four quotes, Paul? They kind of disappear. We looked at them a second ago, I'm sure. Now, these four quotes are all rubbish. All of them are rubbish. They're all inaccurate. And yet there's truth in them. The future starts today and not tomorrow. The future's set. Jesus will come back. But today is the day you live God's kingdom. The kingdom is coming, and yet we're in it now. Today, have faith in God through obedience. The best way to predict your future is to create it. Rubbish. Our future is created by the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Do something that your future self will thank you for. I actually like this one. Do stuff that you be proud of as a Christian. And even the last one's wrong. He says, I don't know the future, what the future may hold, but I know the one who holds the future. I actually know what the future will hold. Jesus will return. I'll be given a resurrection body. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and people will stand before the judgment throne and have to face God. See, I know the future. Don't know when. And you know the future. And judgment's not popular now. But that doesn't mean we stop talking about it. So God is walking with you. Walk in faith. To walk in faith is to trust God. To trust God is to obey him. Let's get on with that. I'll pray and then pass it on to Rachel. Father God, thank you that you love the world so much you gave your only son. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you bled for us. You give us your blood to deal with our past, and you give us your spirit to walk us into the future. For everyone in this room, Lord, who is a Christian, bless them, Lord, and enable them to speak your kingdom, to live your kingdom, and give us the power to obey in every situation. And we ask this in Jesus' name and say, amen. Thank you for coming.